Today on Real Life Radio.
God commands me to support Israel. I don't agree with all of its politics. I'm not supposed to. That's not the point. The point is, God says, they're my people. By the way, you're his people. Do you walk perfect? We ought to fill up the pool and see how far you can get across it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled The Act of War, Part 1. You know, the Bible warns us that we have an enemy who has proven to be an expert at surprise attacks. Satan and his demonic allies are always ready to come against us. You see, Satan is very deceptive. We all know that. He actively tries to trick us into believing that he does not exist. And all the while, he's gathering information to learn where our weaknesses are and when to attack. But if we're walking in the Spirit, nothing should surprise us. We'll be ready for his schemes and praying for protection for our homes and our families. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that in the great war found in Revelation chapter 12, Satan is fighting against a divine mission. Satan's always hated Israel, of course, since its inception, and he does everything in his power to come against them. Now in his message called The Act of War, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Catholic Church and its all-millennial teaching and its views believes that this is Mary in heaven. Now, as we go through this, you're going to know for sure it's not Mary because, number one, Jesus is sitting on his throne. And if the vision is of an actual person, then you've got Mary in heaven, Jesus sitting on the throne, and Mary's pregnant. This woman is pregnant in heaven. It can't be Mary for a lot of reasons. But if you say, well, it's got to be Mary, I've been taught that it is Mary. Well, you got a bigger problem than any of us in this room because the problem is Jesus is already enthroned in heaven and she's still pregnant. And who's she pregnant by? And what is she pregnant with? So watch this very carefully. We want to methodically go through this and understand it well. Verse 1 says, a woman clothed with the sun. You got to circle the word sun. That's a clue. We need to find out, how are you clothed with the sun? What does that mean? With the moon under her feet, what does that mean? We need to study a woman giving birth to a child, the sun, the moon, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. The identity of this woman is vital. Who is she? Her interpretation, your understanding of this is extremely important. The Bible tells us in Genesis 37, verses 5 through 9, now Joseph had a dream and he told it. You want to turn there or just want to write it down? I went there kind of quick. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 9 says, now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So they said to him, or he said to them, please hear this dream which I've had dreamt. And verse 7 says, and there he begins to tell them about the binding of the sheaves in the field. Joseph tells the dreams to his jealous brothers. I think you might know the story. Then behold, he says, my sheaf rose up and stood before all of yours, and your sheaves of wheat bowed down. And his brothers understood what he was talking about and said, hey, wait a minute. You expect us to bow down to you, you little stinker? We're older. We can beat you up. Who are you, Joseph? You're a nothing to us. And remember, they were jealous because their father Jacob had tremendous favor. Remember, Joseph's coat of many colors was given to him, and it made his brothers even more jealous. How many brothers, by the way, did he have? 11. Joseph, of course, combined all of them together, 12 of them. But note this, watch this. Verse 8 says of Genesis 37:8, and his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamt still yet another dream and told it to his brothers. It doesn't get any better. And he said to them, look, I have dreamed another dream. I bet they rolled their eyes and they probably picked up rocks. And he said to them this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to me. Yeah. Genesis 37:10 goes on to say, so he told it to his father and his brothers. Hey, Dad, you want to hear what I told my brothers? I had a dream last night. Check it out. Hey, Pop, listen up. It was this. And his father, it says, rebuked him for his dream and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow before you, before the earth, and honor you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, jot it down. Revelation chapter 12, where do we find the answer to this woman that is clothed with the sun and with the moon beneath her feet and a garland of stars over her head? It's a very important thing to note. We were in Israel recently, and outside of our hotel, catty corner to our hotel, was this image above the prime minister's office. It's a brand new building in Israel. And how interesting is it? Who is it? Well, there's a woman there, and she's draped in the glory of a robe, and she's standing atop an orb. It doesn't say moon on it. It doesn't say this is a moon in relation to Genesis 37. It doesn't say that, but note that she is a woman. She's draped there with a robe, and over her head and around her head, by the way, you can't see the back end of it, is a garland of oyster shells, of bananas. What are they? What's a garland of? Stars. And right there, you can see nine of them. But if you keep counting, how many total? 12 of them. Interesting. Ooh. This is in Jerusalem, the office of the prime minister. Brand new building. Atop the building, highest point. Now, for some of you who have been doing apologetic research and things like that, you would say from my research that I have done, this is an image of the Queen of Heaven that Jeremiah warned about not to bow down to in the Old Testament. Wow, interesting. I don't think that's what they're thinking when they, or what they were thinking when they put it up. But the truth of the matter is, right now at this hour over the prime minister's office is this image of a woman of all things with a garland of stars around her head, 12 of them. What is this, or who is this woman? It's very important to understand that out of the life of Jacob came Israel. Remember that? The 12 sons. Out of the 12 sons formulated or brought together the nation of Israel. God says over and over again in Scripture regarding the fact that Israel, that it's a people whose God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is Jacob's name when God changed it to what? Israel. Very good. Joseph's life, by the way, I bring up Joseph, who's one of his sons. Joseph, who was envied and spoken of in Genesis 37, what did they do to Joseph, his 11 brothers? Didn't they sell him into slavery? Does anybody remember how much money they sold him for? Yes, good. 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of coins. How much was Jesus sold into slavery for? 30 pieces of stone, 30 pieces of silver. Who betrayed him? Judas, but Judas represented his own people. The book of John said Jesus came unto his own people, but his own people received him not. Interesting. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that Jesus was imprisoned and he was illegally, unlawfully accused, wasn't he? And there was a mock trial and he was put into prison. What happened to Joseph? He was hated by his brethren. He was rejected and sold by 30 pieces of silver. He was led away captive, so to speak, into the world. In the Old Testament, Egypt is a type of the world, the Bible teaches us. But even though he was wrongfully accused and wrongfully imprisoned, God's grace was upon him, and Joseph was brought out of prison to rescue all of Israel, including his family. Church, did not you and I learn in our Old Testament readings this year already that Joseph's brothers all and parents bowed down before him, not recognizing that he had been exalted to the glories of the dominion of Egypt himself? Isn't that interesting? Spectacular, fantastic stuff. So who's the woman? There is no doubt throughout Scripture that the woman is Israel. That Israel would bring forth, as we shall see, a son. Very, very important that you understand that. Again, this is not a person, but it's what it represents. Romans 9:1, jot it down if you would. Romans 9, chapter 9, verse 1 says, I tell you the truth in Christ, Paul says, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. That's radical. There's only one person who's ever prayed that prayer prior to Paul. And I don't know of anybody who's prayed it since. Paul the Apostle is saying right here, if Israel cannot get saved, then God remove my name from the book of salvation. Take my name out of the book of life. You know who prayed that prayer? Moses. Moses was the only one who said, if you blot these people out, then blot me out too. Man, that's a pastor's heart. He goes on, verse 3, he goes on saying, my countrymen according to the flesh, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and listen, from whom, that's Israel, from whom Israel, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternal blessed God, he says there, forever. Point number one tells us that Satan has real enemies that he's fighting against. It's not only a chosen people, Israel. Have you noticed Satan hates Israel? I'll speak more on that in a moment, but watch out about Israel. Satan hates it. That's why it's gone through what it's gone through over the ages. Not only that, but listen, he's fighting against a divine mission. Satan is fighting against a divine mission. Verse 2 says, then being with child, she's pregnant, she cried out in labor and in pain and gave birth. Okay, Jack, are you saying that Israel, so to speak, okay, this is a sign. I understand that she's pregnant and she gives or she brings forth a son or a child. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's exactly what I'm saying. In the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us in the future, there will be a war where Satan will launch an even increasing attack against Israel. And has been against Israel for these last 2,000 years, and has been against Israel since its inception through our father Abraham. And the Bible teaches this clearly. Mark these verses down. I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 of them. It's very important. Are you ready? Hey, are you guys with me? Are you guys okay? Because here's the deal. You guys are so well taught now. After I go, many of you, I've been back and you guys said, can you go on vacation again? We had such great speakers. We need you to go on vacation again. Listen, I'm following in some huge footsteps up here. You guys need to be listening because those guys are good and I'm trying the best I can. So you tune in really good. Okay, here we go. Listen, jot it down. Let the Bible speak for itself. Isaiah 26:17. Isaiah 26:17. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her birth pains, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so we... it's Israel he's speaking to, have been in your sight, O Lord. Isaiah was a prophet to Israel. Interesting, Isaiah 26:17 says that Israel is like a woman pregnant, bringing forth child. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, a son came out of a nation. Unto us a son is given, God gave his son. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no, and the peace, and there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Meaning this, that Christ will come out of Israel. And there will be a time when he occupies his throne in Israel. That has not yet happened, and we await that. Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Listen to this. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, Zion is another word for Israel. She gave birth to her children. That's her people. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, saith the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with where? Jerusalem. And be glad with her, all you who love her. Do you love her? God says you better love her. Wow, is this, I could start a war right now by saying that. And I don't know if you've caught on or not. I'm not much of a wimp when it comes to the Bible. I hate snakes. And I hate spiders. And you won't see me on a roller coaster. But you know what? I've read the Bible, and I may be ugly, but I'm not dumb. The truth is, I want to stand with Israel because God says so. Does Israel do everything right? No. Are there things that they do wrong? Yep. But I tell you what, God says, support and be behind my people. And love her, and love Jerusalem. Now, if you want to get upset with me, listen, put a sock in it, because you're getting upset with God. If you're upset with me because I'm declaring, Lord, cause me to more often pray for the peace of Jerusalem as he commands us, then you know what? The problem's yours and not mine. God commands me to support Israel. I don't agree with all of its politics. I'm not supposed to. That's not the point. The point is, God says, they're my people. By the way, you're his people. Do you walk perfect? We ought to fill up the pool and see how far you can get across it. He says, and be glad with her and rejoice, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be established with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. That is an announcement. Watch me. You got to watch my hands. God says, I'm going to bless Abraham. Remember that? And through Abraham and his descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God blessed Abraham. And what you want to do is pray for the children of Abraham. And what you want to do is realize that if you follow God's economic plan, I say that spiritually economic plan, if you obey scripture in that manner, and you watch this and understand this, that in the last days, there's going to be an onslaught against Israel. There's going to be a rise in anti-Semitism. There's going to be a rise against the killing of Jews. More people in the nations of the world will attempt to kill Jewish people as time goes on. From this moment forward, there's going to be an increase. How do we know? Jesus warned us and said so. Be careful, but know this. God says those that bless thee, I will bless. And those who curse thee, I will curse. I personally believe that's why America to this hour has still been blessed. David Hawking asked me that. Do you believe that? He asked me, do you believe that? I said, not only do I believe that, but I have this belief. And look, this is my belief. If you don't like it, just forget it. History seems to show me that God not only established the United States of America to put forth the gospel to the world more than any nation of all human history. Did you know that? Did you know prior to 1954, the United States government had a budget of sending Bibles around or out to the world in the federal budget? That was removed. But did you know that? Did you know that it was from our founding fathers that when they read the Bible declared that the church should be exempt from taxes so it could be burdened more with the getting out of the gospel? And so that's why there's the 501c3 tax exemption of religious organizations. Did you know that? That's in the archives of our nation and of our founding fathers' desires. It's written down. I love that stuff. Well, God says that he has a plan for his nation still yet. Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verses 7 through 9. I will declare this decree, saith the Lord. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. That speaks about his reign and his rule when Christ comes back in the second coming. He will rule as a king. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. By the way, a potter broke his vessels, broke the ones that that would not conform to the potter's will. He would have his wheel going, he'd be forming the pot. In our case, remember Remember our class, the ashtray? Whenever we failed, we just punched it and made an ashtray out of it. Well, the potter would be molding and shaping and shaping, and if the clay would not obey the molding of the potter, he would just dash it. He would cast it aside. Well, Psalm 2, verse 12 goes on to say this regarding, "You are my son, this day have I begotten thee." Doesn't that remind you of the New Testament in the Gospels? Well, in Psalm 2, verse 7, it says, "Kiss the son." And that's not S-U-N, it's S-O-N. By the way, it's capital S-O-N. By the way, if you want to give your Jewish friends a very powerful verse as to the Messiahship of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, pick Psalm 2:12. They can't explain it. They'll tell you, "I know that you must think this is Jesus, but it's got to be somebody else." Well, ask them who. Well, then who is it? No, it's Jesus, all right. Psalm 2:12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled, oh, but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." That's the gospel in the Old Testament. Beautiful, isn't it? Acts 13:32 says, "And we declare the glad tidings," or the gospel, "to you. That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm. You are my son, today I have begotten you." So the divine mission that God has in store and that Satan is against is the existence of the nation Israel and the Son of God. The connection between the two are inseparable. The truth of the matter is, 2,000 years ago, Israel as a nation under the tyranny of Rome brought forth a son into the world. And you might say, "Well, I thought that had to do with Mary." Mary was the wonderful, beautiful, and blessed vehicle in which God used to bring forth the Son of God, Jesus Christ. John 1, jot it down or turn to it. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," among humans. "And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only," here's the word, "begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word "begotten" is God bringing forth his incarnate, that is his Son in the flesh, that he might be exalted and worshiped and praised and adored as Savior of the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called "The Act of War, Part 1. We're glad you took the time to join us today. "The Act of War, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's an awesome series. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of his physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown: All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends, right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown: All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.